Good morning. Today we'll look at the first recorded sermon presented to hostile Jews. The sermon in Acts 2 was presented to an astounded, curious audience of Jews and proselytes who were seeking an explanation for the visible coming of the Holy Spirit. The sermon in Acts 3 was presented to a curious audience of Jews and presumably proselytes at the temple who were astounded by a miracle of healing. The sermon in Acts 7 is presented as a hostile Jewish audience, the Jerusalem Sanhedrin, the highest court in Israel, who despised the speaker and his message. Luke presented Peter's two court statements in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5 as brief responses to this very court. These two previous encounters of the court with Jewish Christian leadership intensified the court's anger with Christian teaching. The speaker, Stephen, was arrested and on the basis of false accusation. Belief in the resurrected Jesus created a tense, confrontational situation in Jerusalem. The Jewish leaders, the Jerusalem Council, resented being held responsible for the death of Jesus, Acts chapter 5, verse 28. Even with this tension in Jerusalem, the church continued to grow. We need to understand that Jewish Christian converts to Jesus were increasing in number rapidly in a tense environment that would soon turn hostile and dangerous. Peace was not and is not essential to conversion to Jesus Christ. Peace was and is, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, helpful to the spreading of the message, but its absence does not destroy heart responses to the Savior. In those conditions, two occurrences were predictable. First, rapid growth produces internal problems. Acts 6, 1-6 verifies internal problems occurred. Secondly, external confrontations produced hostile actions. Acts 4, 1-22 and Acts 5, 17-40 verify external confrontations produced hostile actions. Once external hostilities began, it escalated. Stephen, who presented this sermon, figured importantly in the internal problems and the external confrontations. Internally, he was selected as one of seven to oversee the distribution of food to widows. Greek-speaking Jewish Christians in Jerusalem complained that their widows were overlooked in daily food distribution. Stephen was one of the seven to see that the food distribution was handled fairly and without favoritism. In Acts, Luke presents the growing circle of inclusion of the people who could accept the resurrected Jesus as Lord. When it began, the Jerusalem church included Jewish residents of Jerusalem who spoke Aramaic and had family lineage in Palestine. Jewish residents also of Jerusalem who spoke Greek and had family lineage outside of Palestine. And proselytes who were not Jewish but had converted to Judaism. The circle then began to grow. It grew bigger with the inclusion of Samaritan believers in Acts chapter 8. It grew bigger still with the inclusion of people in Palestine who were not Jews or converts to Judaism, but they believed in the God of the Jews, Acts chapter 10. It grew bigger again to include people outside of Palestine who believed in the God of the Jews, but were not Jews or converts to Judaism, Acts chapter 11, verse 19-26. It grew bigger yet to include people who believed in the resurrected Jesus and the God who sent him, but had little or no contact with the Jews. Stephen's ministry in the Jerusalem church was involved in the growing circle. Verbally, we understand the fact that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Practically, we struggle to expand our circle to include converts who significantly differ from us culturally or socially. Remember, Jews looked with great disrespect on Samaritans. To include Samaritan converts was no small matter. The struggle to include people who were in no way Jewish obviously was even more difficult. From the beginning of Christianity, it was, and is today, difficult to include converts to Jesus who are different. We must never forget that the difficulty is ours, not God's. Let me repeat that. We must never forget that the difficulty is ours, not God's. God never loves us more than them, or prefers to save us more than them. Exaggerating our spiritual opinion of ourselves excludes us from God. God is repulsed by human arrogance and attracted by humble human dependence. Stephen also was a primary role in the external conflict confronting the church. Greek-speaking Jewish Christians complained that their widows were neglected in the food distribution. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. The congregation chose seven Greek-speaking male Jewish Christians to oversee the food distribution. The actions and convictions of one of these Greek-speaking Christian men, Stephen, produced a bitter reaction in a Greek-speaking Jerusalem synagogue, Acts chapter 6 and verse 9. These Jews were offended by Stephen's powerful words. They argued with him. They secretly encouraged men to falsely accuse him of inflammatory statements and used false witnesses against him at a court trial. Stephen did not hesitate to use all of his gifts or abilities to serve Jesus. He committed himself to God's eternal purposes in Christ Jesus. He neither felt, "I do enough by helping oversee the food distribution to the widows," nor did he feel that the price was too great in trying to open the eyes of his people to God's work in Jesus Christ. Cyrenian and Alexandrian Jews who attended the Jerusalem synagogue of the freedmen attempted to discredit Stephen. They and others falsely accused Stephen of blaspheming the law and God. Their emotionally negative response caused Stephen's arrest and trial. At the trial, false witnesses accused Stephen of speaking against the temple and the law, and of altering ancient Jewish customs. Stephen's sermon is his statement of defense at that trial. Much too often, Christians resort in unethical acts and behavior when their spiritual conclusions and concepts are challenged by God's purposes. Those who disagreed with Stephen felt justified in using deceit and false witnesses to seek to discredit him. The object was to win. They believed they were right. They lived by and presented the truth, thus using ungodly means to discredit someone who threatened their understanding of God's teachings and ways was proper. God never wants or does he need his people to use ungodly behavior or concepts to defend or preserve his purposes. As Christians, we need to exercise great care not to defend our own pride. It is easy to use defense tactics to defend self while pretending to defend God. God's sincere followers are open to increasing their knowledge and understanding of God's purposes. Those who belong to Jesus allow Jesus to be their primary example of the appropriate ways to defend God's purposes. The sermon was presented by a Greek-speaking Jew to the leaders of the Jewish nation. The sermons in Acts 2 and 3 were to inquisitive audiences containing receptive individuals. The sermon in Acts 7 was to a hostile audience prejudiced against the speaker. The outcome of the sermon in Acts 2 and 3 focused on the response of receptive listeners. The outcome of Sermon 7 was an emotional, hostile reaction resulting in the execution of the speaker. Many quickly read through the sermon in Acts 7 as if it were a review of Jewish history and an emotional condemnation of the audience. The sermon's theme was simple. Our ancestors, the Jewish people of the Old Testament, misunderstood God's purposes and his actions. The conclusion was simple. You make the same mistake that our ancestors made. Most of Stephen's quotations were from the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. Many of the Jews did not understand Hebrew. Even among the Jews in Palestine, Hebrew was not a common language. Greek was the business language of their day. Because many of the world's people spoke Greek, and many of the Jews interacted with the populations who were not Jewish. Alexander the Great was responsible for translating the Jewish scripture, the Old Testament, into Greek. Most Jews could not understand scriptures when they were read or discussed in Hebrew. The earliest Greek translation of Old Testament books were available long before Jesus was born. The Greek translation of the Old Testament was a scripture the first century church used. The original texts of the New Testament were written in Greek. New Testament books were written in the common, everyday Greek language used in marketplaces. Stephen's sermon is the longest sermon recorded in Acts. Verses 2 through 14 focus on the pre-Egyptian existence of their ancestors. It began by focusing on the unquestioned, accepted foundation of Israel, God's promise to and covenant with Abraham. Verses 9 through 14 state how and why the Jewish people went to Egypt. That was commonly understood. Verses 15 through 45 focused on commonly understood facts, but commonly misunderstood purposes. This section focused on Moses. Note, Moses wanted to help his people, but was rejected as ruler and judge, verses 23 through 28. Note also that this rejected ruler and judge became God's appointed, commissioned ruler and judge, verse 35. Even after deliverance, the Jews rejected Moses as ruler and judge, verses 39 through 43. They misunderstood God's purpose in Moses' leadership, the law, and the tabernacle. Understand that Stephen's sermon focused on God's purpose, not on facts. The court did not dispute the facts Stephen presented. The court was angered because Stephen declared that Israel, including this court present and past, misunderstood God's purposes in these facts. It's important to remember that this court interpreted and applied the law of Moses. David and Solomon built God a permanent dwelling place. However, Israel misunderstood the purpose of the temple. Their faith was in the temple instead of the God to be honored by the temple. God's presence is too vast to be confined to a building or a geographic location. God acted in Israel to give Israel reason to place their faith in Him. Israel misunderstood God's reason for His acts. They commonly misplaced their faith because they misunderstood God's purposes. Thus, they placed their faith in the law instead of God, who gave them the law. They placed their faith in the temple instead of the God whom the temple honored. It was an old, old problem. Stephen said his audience was like their ancestors. God sent their ancestors the prophets, and their ancestors rejected and killed them. God sent them the righteous one, Jesus, and they rejected and killed Him. Their ancestors did not understand God's purposes in Moses, and the prophets told them so. They did not understand God's purposes in Jesus, and Stephen told them so. Stephen did not oppose the law or the temple. He challenged the court to understand God's purposes. If they understood God's purposes, they would accept Jesus as God's promised righteous one. They reacted to Stephen's correct understanding by rejecting his presentation of God's purpose, and they killed him. Friends, think about this. Why do people who hold studied, accepted convictions often resent the person who shares an understanding they need to consider? Why do we tend to exclude people rather than include people? No committed person wants to consider the possibility that he or she was mistaken in a fundamental concept. To be mistaken in a fundamental concept means the person must rethink his or her convictions and views, and rethink his or her approach to convincing others. It is easy for a committed person to see himself or herself as a judge rather than a follower. It's easy to focus on what is wrong in their lives instead of how best can I serve God. As we increasingly see evil around us and increasingly view ourselves as godly people, we are certain God is deeply offended by the evil. God wants us to attack rather than save. When that becomes our conclusion, our basic Christian mission changes. Our goal becomes condemning evil instead of saving people. We become convinced our God-given mission is fulfilled by condemning evil. With that attitude, we increasingly become judges, installing ourselves in God's role, and decreasingly show compassion to those enslaved by evil. The more that attitude exists in us, the more resentful we are of any person who gives us valid reasons for rethinking our concepts. If you have any questions, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.